Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. I'm Tony and I'm joined by Brooke. How are you doing there, Brooke?
Hi, Tony. I'm doing okay. Forgive me if I sound a little flat. I recently pulled a wisdom tooth like 2 days ago, so. But it's time to get this interview done, right?
Absolutely, yes. It'll be good when you're back to normal without your sore mouth, but you're doing well to be even on here. We were scheduled to all be on together, but because of different things that happened, we pre-recorded Matt and Joni, and now we'll be adding Brooke's piece because it all fits together like a perfect puzzle with some dreams that we had and some experiences that we all had as a team. And this is what we'll be bringing out, the fact that we are in a spiritual warfare, and some important keys will come out of that today.
Yeah, Tony, you're right. I was just telling you guys the other day that there's a lot of people that really have this conception of people that have websites or do these kind of shows that, you know, we don't tend to have the same problems that they do, you know, but we do. And sometimes even greater, we're all having these same spiritual battles, whether it be economically, health-wise, you name it, we have it. And today we just want to really be raw with our audience and really show you guys who we are and the kind of battles that we have been going through. So you'll know we're all in this together here.
Absolutely. So we'll play Joni and Matt's clip first, and then Brooke will come in after that and share some more of her experience and some great keys that we've discovered.
Just recently, about a week ago or so, I had this dream. But before I get into the dream, I just want to say, you know, we've been doing a lot of praying. I've been doing a lot of praying for A Minute to Midnight. And yet at the same time, we've been going through a lot of personal trials at home. And I noticed before I had this dream, for a couple days, my husband, who is this super mellow, even-tempered person, never see him angry, always happy. Anyway, just say that about him, that I saw this dark mood come upon him. It was just so dark that it went deeper than me just feeling it. Like, I saw this darkness that I never saw on him before, and he just couldn't come out of it. And I did confront him, like, what's wrong with you? You're in this dark zone. What's your problem? He just couldn't get out of it. He just looked so dark, and it was just not like him. Well, that next night I had a dream, and in my dream, I saw myself standing in the living room. I don't know why I was there, but I was just standing in the center of my living room, and all around me, all of a sudden, I started to see these little dark shadows, and they started to materialize until the whole living room was filled with these little dark shadows, and they became clearer, and you can see them all as these little demons. And they were all about chest high. They were small, but you can see that they were like angry and they were confused and there was chaos around them. And I could feel their emotion, like I knew, like though I didn't hear anything they were saying, they were very annoyed because they wanted to attack me, but they couldn't get near me. And the more they tried to get near me to attack me, it was making them more insane and go crazy. And they were screaming and they were angry and they were frustrated. And I felt myself like I wanted to rebuke them, but I felt that even in my dream, I couldn't rebuke them because I felt that power was holding me back. It would not let me open my mouth in my dream to rebuke them. But finally, I fought through it and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get away from me. The moment I said that, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get away from me, immediately this evil spirit arose out of them. It just came out of them towards me like it charged towards me. And it was hideous looking. It was violent. It was furious. It was so angry at me, and it lunged at me and it tried to wrap its hands around my neck. And his face was right up to my face. Now, those little evil spirits, I couldn't see their faces, but this thing materialized as the chief among them, and it let me see his face. He made sure to let me see his face. And he came right up to my face and he tried to wrap his hands around my neck, but he couldn't. Like, I can feel it like almost touching my skin, but he couldn't. And the more he tried to kill me, because I knew he wanted to kill me, he was being withheld from harming me. And it was making him go into a rage and a great wrath. And finally, I was able to say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And then I woke up and I can feel that evil spirit in my room. And I thought, okay, you know what? I'm getting up. I went down into my living room and I prayed for a while. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to pray. And so I began to just pray like I normally pray at 3 o'clock in the morning, right around there. And I just started praying like normal prayers. I was thanking God for the day, what he's going to be doing in our personal life and so forth. And it was fine. The prayer was flowing. I was enjoying time with the Lord. I didn't really feel that presence. I felt that it did leave me at that moment. And after I had prayed through, I thought I was done. And then I remembered, I thought, oh, wait a minute. I got to pray for a minute to minute. I got to pray for all of us on our team. The moment I got the first sentence out to pray for a minute to midnight, immediately I felt that evil thing come right up against that prayer and contest it. And I know because I've been there before. I'm a fighter. I know exactly when that spirit was contesting. Okay. And it did not want me to pray that prayer. And I had to fight just to get some more words out because it was countermanding that prayer. It did not want me to pray for the members of A Minute to Midnight and for the blessing of the Lord upon all of us. And it became so heavy, I just let it go. I thought, you know, I'm just going to let it go right now, Lord. And I just ended that prayer. And for hours after that, I felt this hideous oppression. And it was that spirit. Now, notice that spirit didn't care that I was praying that the Lord would be blessing my children and my family, that the Lord would direct our steps and our trial. But the moment I prayed for A Minute to Midnight for all of us, it was right there. So I think this is worthwhile to bring up because it really, when you start to really start working for the Lord, and I don't mean being busy in the Lord. I mean, when you start to really enter in to that prayer life and you start to obey the Lord and he begins to direct you and he begins to open up a door of utterance and you begin to prophesy and you begin to speak and you get dreams and visions, they'll only let it go so far.
Interesting. It was interesting too because both Matt and Brooke had dreams of being attacked by demons a few days before you had. They had them, you know, like less than 24 hours apart and they were on different sides of the world and then you had that one and they were all within a few days of each other. It says something.
Because truly it's a network of power. They're spirits, they're not omnipresent, so they have to have a network of power. When we are doing these shows, sometimes I think we lose sight. Like we think, okay, it went out. We know it's going out to whoever, but we have no idea how the Holy Spirit is taking things we are saying into the lives of people who are trapped in darkness. See, we're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with, and this is the backlash from the enemy because really the enemy doesn't care about recreational Christian time. He just doesn't. He doesn't care if you do your thing. Like I always say, my experience with really digging in deep and desiring more than just to walk with Christ, he does put a call in your life. He gives you something to do in him. And I've been a fighter my whole life. So the things I'm saying because I've experienced it, you know, because you can read about warfare all you want in a book, right? Yeah. But unless you've really, really come into close combat with the enemy, you're never going to know just how horrible he really is. You're never going to understand exactly what he can do. Now, we're never going to figure it out. And that's not God's will for us to try to figure out everything the enemy is doing because the enemy's sole object is to knock us out of the race. Mm. He wants to knock you out of the arena. And this is what I've seen for years. I've seen it across the board every time, okay? When people come together, they're sincere, and it is a calling. They want to come together. They pray. All of that starts happening. They begin to have successes in the Lord. But I noticed after a short amount of time, there's like this honeymoon period where the enemy starts to take notice. So you don't notice it. The people don't notice it because they're enjoying the success of the word spreading, the Lord confirming his word with signs following. But what then happens is I coined a term called the death blow, because he'll deliver up a death blow. If he sees that you have made up your mind that you are going to go forward, he's going to deliver up one hard death blow in the beginning. And most people, because it's horrible, they will go back into their corners.
Yeah.
Okay? That is what he does. So when he was sending evil spirits to visit Matt and Brooke and then me, it was a coordinated attack. Because what it is, it's a divide and conquer. And another thing he does too is he tries to, well, we always know that he's always trying to supplant, subvert our attention from things in heaven to things on earth, because we are earthly, right? We're earthy. But one thing I know is when we start to engage the spiritual world, it's always going to be in prayer. It's always going to, that's where really where we abide under the shadow of the Most High. We're always going to be there. Like I was explaining to you the other day, remember we did an interview and later on we were talking and I was explaining about how in different things I was experiencing, and I called them my field notes, that when the Lord really started calling me into warfare, I didn't ask for it. And I can certainly tell you, from what I've experienced, it's truly not something anybody really knows what they're asking for when they ask for it. Though you should at some point. I think all Christians need to wield their Father's sword. But if it's something you've been called into, then the Lord is going to put the enemy right in front of your face. He's going to make him come near you, just like he did with Jesus when he tempted him. So we know his presence. We know it firsthand. See, the Holy Spirit wants to educate us, you know, not just in the things we're always learning at church, right?
Yeah.
Which is good. They're foundational. They're good. They build character, all those things, right? But he wants you to know your enemy. And there's a lot of people, I'm sure, that are hearing this that they might be thinking, well, that makes me uncomfortable. I'm scared of him. But there will come a time that a trial will come in their life where they're going to have to fight for their life. They're going to have to fight for their marriages. They're going to have to fight for their children. They're going to have to fight for themselves. Okay? And the Lord will allow it so that he can strengthen them, because that kingdom is in us. So with the minute to midnight, when we have this spiritual attack, it is really a sign that things are moving out there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, because Matt, yeah, you had that experience just a few days before Joni.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's something that I'll talk a little bit about it. It's where I had a dream, and Joni alluded to that before, and I was just lying in bed, and I drifted off to sleep, and then next minute I had a dream where I had someone who was a very familiar person in my life in that dream, but I knew it wasn't them, and that person attacked me, I was alone in a house with that person, but I knew it wasn't, it was, their appearance changed, it became something much more sort of evil and demonic, but the odd thing was that I actually felt the attack, which it was a physical assault on my body, and I've never had that before. That's the first time I've ever experienced that kind of sensation. And then I woke up quickly, and the first thing on my lips was in Jesus' name, and it was gone straight away. And that was the reassuring thing, is immediately I went into that, it stopped straight away. But then Brooke comes through, and you know, she'll be able to perhaps relay this a bit later on as well too about her own experience. And then you, Joni, you have, you know, something similar as well, and it's just, yep.
You know, about, gosh, you know, when I first started, when the Lord started really bringing me in, you know, my testimony, when he called me in, you know, the whole thing, when he called me in when I was a, you know, young person, and I started really praying all the time, and I was enjoying prayer time with him. And then that moment where I stopped praying, and I heard him, because he stopped the prayer, and I heard him say, I want you to ask me how to teach you how to pray. And then a couple of weeks later, that's how, I mean, for 2 weeks, that's all I prayed. I was set to pray for as long as it was going to take, because I knew I heard his voice. I didn't know what it was going to mean. But I went for it, and I said, I'm just going to lay everything else down. And I started praying, Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me how to pray. It kind of felt funny because I was so used to always just rambling on with the Lord. And there was that one day, put the kids in the bus, husband went off to work, went into my bedroom, and I felt this power come down. It was so mighty. I went down on my face and I stayed there till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And for 6 solid years, I felt that power remain with me night and day. Mm-hmm. It never left me until after 6 years. It was like, that was a moment. That was the 6 years of time that what he put in me was enough for me. He was teaching me things that only he could teach me. There's only places he can take you. You can't get there by reading books and even begging for it. If it's not his will, you know, it says, for we are Christ, his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do the works that he has ordained for us before the world began, that we may walk in them. So there's things that he wanted me to do, and I couldn't learn it any other way. But let me tell you something. After the first 3 years, at the end of that 3 years, I had this dream. Do you mind if I share it?
No, go for it. Go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew something was changing because each of those years, there was disciplines that the Holy Spirit was teaching me in prayer, which that can be another show. But let me just say, I felt something declining, and I knew he was getting ready to teach me something else, but I had no idea what it was going to be. And one night I had this dream that I saw myself in heaven. I knew I was in heaven. And everything was white around me. And I was completely myself, yet I was in the heavenly realm in a building. And this man appeared to me dressed in a simple white tunic. I don't know what his face looks like. It was kept from me. And I said to him, did I die? And he said, no. And I said, then why am I here? And he said, because from this point on, you are going to begin fighting evil spirits more wicked than the ones that you've been fighting since now. And it scared me. And I said, no, I can't. I can't. And he said, turn around. And I turned around, and behind me were these three hideous evil spirits that were so fierce looking. There's no human language to describe how wicked.
How long ago was it that you had the dream? Just when
well,
did
that
you
was have... that was when I was in my 30s, and right. I'm 54 now.
Yeah, okay.
This is when he was taking me on that.
Yep.
And I looked back, like I was just like I was horrified looking at them. And he said, follow me. And so I followed him down this corridor, and we were passing all these doors and stuff. And he entered into a room, and there was a bench. And he said, sit down. And I sat down, and I thought, well, if I start to speak in tongues, he will see I already have all I need, and I don't need anything else, because I was afraid of what he was telling me I was going to do. And what, you know, I didn't know what was happening. And he sat down on the bench next to me, and he looked at my face, and his face became like lightning. Like, that's all I can say, like this authority. And he said, are you done yet? And I just shut up. And he stood up and he walked over to a table and he picked up a book, and it was this big, thick, fat book, and it was gold on both sides. And like, you know what sparklers look like?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It, yeah. like light was coming out of it, like shooting out like fire, but not fire, like sparklers. You know what I mean? Like sparks.
Yeah.
And he hands me this book. He said, here, take this and go stand over there. And so I took it and I went and I stood over across the room. He said, open it up. And I opened it up and he said, now read from it. And he wasn't just talking to me. He had authority. He wasn't just asking me. He was commanding me, open that book. And I opened it and he goes, read from it. And I said, this is what the Lord says. And he said, louder. And I said, this is what the Lord said. And he said, louder. And I said, this is what the Lord said. And he said, that's how you're going to do it.
Mm.
And I woke up.
Wow.
And from that moment forward, I began to operate on a different level in dreams and visions. I began to see every evil type of spirit. I've seen tiny little demons. I've seen angelic hosts, satanic angelic hosts that were looked like they were 10 feet tall, all black with black leathery wings. Mm. I've seen things coming up out of the ground that were so fierce that it was horrible. Okay. And he wasn't just showing it to me to just show it to me. It had to do directly with certain campaigns and warfares he led me into. And that's the difference I want to make here.
I have one question, though. You know, like you can see all these demonic things, but surely there must be an equal or greater even number of good angelic beings that are out there. Why is it that you may only be seeing the evil ones, or do you see the good ones as well?
I have seen the good ones. In fact, I've had several dreams where I've seen the same two always with me walking somewhere. The same two.
Yeah.
So yes, I have seen them. And not to mention, you know, it just says angels who are greater in power do not even rebuke Satan, but just say, they don't, you know how they just say the Lord rebuke you,
yeah.
you know? So, you know, in Matthew 18, even Matthew says, I think it's Matthew 18, I think it's verse 10, but he says, you know, concerning children, but I believe it means us. He says, do not their angels behold the face of God in heaven. We know Peter had an angel. Remember Rhoda? She opens the door.
Yeah, that's funny. That.
Remember that? Yeah. They were like, no, it's his angel. See, they yeah. knew stuff yeah. back yeah. then. Okay. Yeah. What I think what's happened, you guys, is that we've become so carnal in our studying, in our attempts to know Christ, we shoved the Holy Spirit out.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to, all of us, be operating. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to have dreams of demons or angels, but we're supposed to see things in the Spirit. It's meant for you and both of you, all of us, to operate under the power of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
But he's not going to give us something if we're not going to intend to use it. And you know one thing I want to say? You know one thing he's waiting for, I found out? He's waiting for everybody to make up their mind. See, when you get to a place where you make up your mind, that's where he took me. That I had to make up my mind that I was going to keep going. No matter how ugly things got, no matter how terrible, how dark, how painful, how wounded, how desperate, he gives you a choice.
Mm.
And when the enemy knows you have set your face like flint and dug your heels in, and you're going to serve the Lord, he's going to throw everything he has at you. However, the Lord will give you everything you need because he's teaching you. He's using him as your teacher. In a sense, he's your teacher. Because why are we here? Yes, we're created in his image. He says he has pleasure in us. We are and we're created for his pleasure, John says. Okay? Paul says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, I didn't go to any of the other apostles who were before me. He said, I went away. And so he had to unlearn everything he did. Remember, he said, my revelation was not of man. It was of God.
Mm-hmm.
And until every single person gets a personal revelation of Jesus Christ, you're not going to really operate in any power. You're going to stay very low down here. But see, the work of the Holy Spirit is multifaceted. Yes, he comes in right away. He seals you until the day of, you know, until that day you go home. You're sealed. You have the gifts. You have all these things. He's teaching you. He's educating. He's using everything, right? But at some point, he wants you and all of us to be a mighty army. You know, I know I'm talking a lot right now. I'll say one more scripture that I love so much, and I know it means the church, and it's from the Song of Solomon. And the writer says, who is this that shineth forth as a morning, bright as the sun, clear as the moon, and terrible as an army with banners? You know, we are an army of the Lord. We're a host. And he means for us to literally use his weapons. But you have to spend time in heaven. Remember, which way did the veil rip from?
Top to bottom.
Yeah.
Right. Top to bottom. Yeah. You know why? Because we're supposed to live from heaven. That's where we live from. See, Christians are at the bottom trying to make their way up to heaven. And things they do and things are trying, and they're sincere. But there's another way that the Holy Spirit wants to take you, where he gives you that revelation when it says, for ye are raised and seated with Christ in heavenly places. That means he wants you to work from top to bottom. And when you start to work in that revelation of power, you're not looking horizontally. Now, things horizontally are going to come. Satan will come at you with 2x4s across your head.
Yeah.
He's a dirty fighter. But you remember this. Jesus never lost a battle. We're going to utter his great memory. We're going to remember his works of old forever and ever. So we don't fight from a, we're not fighting for the victory. We're fighting from victory. And our boundary is the cross. That cross is a safe territory for us, but not to hide. But you know, think about something. Remember what Paul the Apostle said? Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto him and being made a partaker of the fellowship of his sufferings. Remember that?
Mm.
Well, no one wants to suffer, but you are never going to know who Jesus is. And I don't mean just a nice acquaintance, but his power. And that resurrection power. And when you enter into that fellowship of suffering, you enter into a dynamic of spiritual power, because when you suffer, you find out exactly very quickly what you're made out of. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Because when we suffer, we're in the olive press, right? And what comes out of the olive press but oil? Oil comes out, right? And we know that the oil is representative as well as of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
But what the Lord showed me about that one day recently is, remember the 10 virgins? 5 were wise.
Yep.
The other 5 were foolish, right?
Yep.
We know that they were both asleep because the time was long. Then the messenger came and he said, everybody arise. He came at midnight. Everybody arise, for the bridegroom cometh. Well, he didn't come at that second, right? He just said, go out to meet the bridegroom, for behold, the bridegroom cometh. So they all arose. They trimmed their lamps. And we know that the 5 wise ones not only brought their lamps lit with oil in it, it says they brought their vessels with them. Now the other ones just went out with their lamps, and they said, their lamps went out, and they said, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Remember, they said, give it to us.
Yeah.
And the wise ones said, not so, but rather go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Because that oil represents your suffering. it's not for sale. You can't sell it. It represents the life that you lived when you suffered for Christ and grew in power in the Holy Spirit. It's precious oil. It's not for sale. So our suffering, it transforms us into the likeness of Christ. I mean, don't you see when you've been in the heat of a trial, suffering is suffering. You can't get out of it, right? But a day comes, doesn't it, where you do get out of it.
Yeah.
And you're never the same again. Never. And you're nearer to Christ and you hear him better and everything's clearer. It's like the clear shinings after the rain, the way Isaiah says it. It is. It's the clear shinings after the rain.
So you've heard Joni's dream and you've heard Matt's dream and some great keys that Joni's brought out in there, particularly really amazing stuff. So now, Brooke, you're going to share what happened to you because you had a very, very similar experience to what Matt had.
Yes, Tony. On June 24th, it was between 2 and 3 a.m. I did not know Matt, by the way, had a dream similar to this. I found out a few days later after I told you about this dream. But in my dream, I woke up and I was standing in my living room and I was wearing exactly what I had worn that night to sleep in. And as I was standing there, about 2 feet away from me, there was a little child, a boy, a male child, around 8 to 10 years of age. But in my spirit, as I looked at this child, even though he was smiling at me and looked like a really nice kid, in my spirit told me, this is not a child. This is a demonic entity. This is a demon in disguise. And right away, immediately, I remember in my dream, I said, in the name of Jesus. But when I said, in the name of Jesus, I couldn't say anymore because he cut me off. And in his child's voice, he looked at me and said, in the name of Jesus. It was just a complete mockery. It was as if to say, that doesn't do me anything. And I knew right there, okay, this is just not a normal kid. And in my mind, I was thinking, oh, goodness, this is going to take more work. You know, I knew I'd have to take more authority over it. And as I'm thinking that, all of a sudden, he put his arms around me and he was squeezing me, like hugging me. And, you know, he was shorter than me because he was a child. So his head came about to my chest and he was looking up at me. He still looked like a child. And I remember closing my eyes because for a few seconds, fear wanted to grip me because he wasn't going away and he had a hold of me. But I closed my eyes and I just began to take authority over it. And I'd repeat myself and I'd say, in the name of Jesus, you must go. And I looked down, and as I looked down, what was happening, he was still mocking me in that child's voice. But as he spoke, that child's voice became the voice of what it truly was, the demonic voice. And it sounded like he was in pain. He was screeching, and it just sounded, it sounded really terrible. Like when I would take authority and say, in the name of Jesus, I was tormenting him. He was tormented. But not only did his voice change into the demonic voice, his appearance started morphing into what he really was. And I could see him for no longer a child, but for that ugly, horrific demonic entity that was still hanging on to me. So as I kept declaring it that he had to go and saying different things, quoting scripture. And I knew in my spirit, okay, you know, keep resisting him. He has to let go. And then all of a sudden I woke up. He never did let me go in there. And I woke up and I was, of course, in my living room and it was pitch black. So right away, I shuddered. It's like I shuddered. And I did. I felt really fearful for a minute. I thought, what is in this living room with me? That was my first thought, fear. But like 2 seconds later, I said, oh, no, no, no. This is holy ground. I am not going to be fearful of this. So I just I prayed, I thanked God, you know, and I fell back asleep. And when I woke up the next day is when I wrote it down, and then I called you guys. And of course you told me, hey, share your dream with Matt. I think he'll be interested to hear that. And as you guys heard, Matt also had a similar dream where someone came to him that he was familiar with, but it really wasn't her. It was a demonic entity.
And the really interesting part, though, Brooke, is that they were on the same night, except because we're in New Zealand and we're ahead of you guys, but it was the exact same night. Yours was a certain number of hours later, and Matt shared how he'd never in his life had an experience like that where he was physically attacked. And then you had that dream a matter of only hours later, and then was only, oh, I can't remember, very few days, a couple of days later maybe, that Joni had her dream.
Yeah, she had hers about a week later. Now, at first, you know, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, okay, so there's something within me. Like, I was taking it personal at first. There's some things that, you know, maybe something has a hold of me. I need deliverance from or whatnot. But as the week went on, come to learn, we really, really saw with these dreams how they all entangled together and what it meant. And it really had a lot to do with the minute to midnight, right?
Yes, it did. And the various things that we were going through at the time, how we, unbeknown to all of us, we were all struggling with almost identical thoughts and identical things going on. It was a coordinated attack.
That's right. And I mean, I can talk about it a little bit if you want. One night, actually, it was the exact day we did our last show together, me, you, and Joni. And that morning, that was the first time ever I felt I was dreading to do that show. I did not want to do it. I 100% in my mind thought that you did not want me to do that show. There was no way you wanted me on it, but you were going to be too polite and not tell me that. You wouldn't say, Brooke, I don't want you on it. I just want Joni on it. I was convinced of this. And Joni ended up calling me amazingly. God works so well. And I shared with her my dread to go on this show. And she said, oh, no, 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 oh, no, that's a lie. Let me tell you why. And she revealed to me that as she was praying, she said, God told me, you and Brooke are to do this together. I want two in agreement of this. And she's to be on there. So, of course, I felt better about it. And I felt like we had a great show. I didn't feel that way when we were doing the show. Every now and then I'd kind of look at you wondering, okay, is he acting like Tony? I don't know. It was just weird. It's strange. And I've been knowing you for so long. I've never thought anything like that when it comes to you and I. And so we had the show and I felt better. But evening time comes. And I was outside in the back where I normally am. And I'm doing a minute to midnight work. And I don't know what all I was doing. And all of a sudden, this funk comes over me. Oppression, I guess. And I really start thinking all these things, but even worse. Like, I am thinking, look at you. You don't have dreams, you know, like Joni and Sean. You have nothing to contribute. Why do you even write anymore? I may as well, like, put the pen down because no one reads what I write. I write stuff. I don't write all this, you know, drama, great stories, dreams, and what's to come. I just simply put out biblical truths in my articles. So I was like convinced, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. But I was also convinced I needed to step down. So in my thoughts, I said, I'm going to email Tony and tell him that I'm going to step away from this. Now, I sound really calm saying that, but I wasn't. I was really upset. I mean, I was really crying and I was really upset about it because I knew, oh, man, this is really going to be painful to leave. What am I going to do then? Like, I love these people. But the attack was so great. Let me tell you, I was convinced that I was going to tell Tony, I was going to tell you that I was leaving and that you would tell Joni and she would have nothing of it. And y'all would try to convince me to come back, but I wasn't going to answer my phone. I wasn't going to answer a text. And soon enough, y'all would just forget about me and it would be all good. And we'd all go our merry way. I don't know what
but
I was
thinking.
But
you never wrote the resignation, but you sent to me the stuff of, you know, how or what you were feeling and how you were ready to, you know, feeling you were.
Yeah, that night is when, that night, 2 hours into it, I said, I have to write Tony.
Yes.
Because our listeners may not know, but me and Tony have known each other for at least 3 years now. And, you know, he's like my best friend, my best male friend. So we know each other.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't just meet through a minute to midnight, guys. But so, of course, I'm going to tell him all this stuff. So I start texting him and telling him I could not ever write to you, though. Hey, I'm stepping down from a minute to midnight. When it came for me to write that, I could not do it. I thought, let me wait a few days or whatnot, but I have to tell him what I'm thinking. And I apologized for being on the show. I literally apologized for being on the show. And I told you in that message, like, this is the craziest thing ever. I am sobbing and I'm apologizing to you for being on the show. I feel like I intruded on the show.
Yeah, but
and
that
God's
was,
telling me, why are you apologizing when I told Joni I wanted you on that show? But it was terrible. I just knew I had to talk to you.
Yeah.
And I told you not to reply.
And I did,
said,
though, didn't I? I replied straight away and I said,
you did.
Hey, Brooke, these thoughts you're sharing, do you want to know what was going on in my head? And I shared to you, I had exactly the same things I was thinking, except I was thinking these things about myself. Oh man, you know, quit a minute to midnight. You know, you're not reaching people. If God really was in it, He'd be blessing you. You're struggling financially. You know, you can hardly survive. You're this, that, and all these things. You're a fraud. I was ready to walk away. I was about ready to quit, and I thought, no, you can't. But all inside, I was just thinking, God's going to stop blessing it. A minute to midnight is going to be the end and finish. And I wrote, and, you know, there was more to it than that, but I sent you that, and it was like we were able to go, hang on a second, we are actually being told the same basic lies, almost word
lies.
For word. And then you heard from Joni, who had also...
Yes.
You explained.
I decided to, of course, share with Joni what happened to me the night of the show, because she knew what happened in the morning, not the full extent, but she knew. So all of a sudden, she calls me, we start talking, I get on the subject of this, and I bring you into it, and I say, you're not going to believe this, what happened to me the night of the show. So I tell her, then I proceed to tell her about your reply, tell her you were thinking exactly, I even thought the same thing, I'm a fraud, I'm a phony. I couldn't even believe you wrote the same words.
Yeah.
So she suddenly says, oh my God. And if you can hear Joni, you know, you can hear her say it. Oh my God. Then she had to hang up. She said, but I will be right back. I'm going to call you right back. And when she calls me, she said, Brooke, why I reacted like this so strongly. She said, you're not going to even believe this. I didn't tell anyone this. I had the same attack the same week as Tony. Mine was at the end of the week. Theirs was more the beginning day. Theirs lasted for several days, Tony said. Joni's lasted several days. She had the same thoughts. Her line of thinking was she was also going to quit a minute to midnight. She actually opened her computer to email you just like I did, and she could not type it. She couldn't do it. She thought, who am I? Look at me. You're nothing. You know, what do you have to give compared to them? You know,
and
the enemy
so we
kept
were
us
all
separate.
Yeah, but we were all
he kept
being
us separate in
coordinated
this attack.
Attacks, all of us. You know,
yes.
We'd all been being told the same stuff, and we were all ready to throw the towel in.
Yes,
all individually.
Three core members of A Minute to Midnight, convinced by the enemy, not by God, that we weren't good enough, and we were quitting. And thank God we didn't, because in our hearts, we don't want that. We don't want it at all. But you see how cunning and manipulative when he gets in your mind. What really blew me away is a lot of times when I'm thinking these thoughts or thoughts similar, not as strong as that, I'm like, I catch my head and say, okay, this is the enemy. I didn't think along those lines. That this is why it just floored me that night. It did not cross my mind. I was convinced these things were truth.
Yeah. And that's that was the power of the lie. So we're getting short on time. I know you did a bit of a study on Elisha. Do you want to share what you found there? Because it ties in perfectly.
Yeah, I just want to bring up with spiritual warfare. In 2 Kings 6, 8 through 23, it's the story of Elisha, not Elijah, Elisha. Well, the king of Syria, he was warring against Israel, you know. Well, each time the Syrians would make a raid into Israel, their plans were spoiled. And the Israelites always knew to avoid where the Syrian army was sent. And this is because God would tell the prophet Elisha of the plans. And the king of Syria, you know, he finally asked his servants, which one of you is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants told him, you know, no, it's not us, but Elijah, the prophet who's in Israel, he tells the king of Israel everything you say in your bedroom. Well, the king of Syria was enraged and he sent his armies to... He found out where Elisha lived. He sent his armies to surround the city with horses and chariots, you know, obviously to kill Elisha. Well, morning comes and Elisha's attendant gets up like it's a normal day. You know, he goes outside. All of a sudden, he sees horses and chariots surrounding them, surrounding the whole city. Well, all of a sudden he says to Elisha, what shall we do? You could tell, I'm sure he was pretty fearful, but Elijah is cool as a cucumber. He answers him right away and says, you know, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. So then Elijah prays that the attendant's eyes would be open to see. And when the attendant's eyes were open, he looked at the mountain in the spirit and the mountainside was filled with horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. So the point in this story right here is, first we see how God always, you know, warns his own people, okay? Elisha, of course, was not in the king of Syrian's bedroom hearing what he spoke. Yeah. You know, he wasn't physically there. But God, you know, warned him. He warned Elijah so he could tell the king of Israel ahead of time their every move. But it also shows God's great omniscience, his ability to know everything, which I thought was amazing. But we don't want to be like the attendant in this story, which I really was a big focus for me. You know, he was oblivious to the attack. He was oblivious as to what was going on. Not only the attack that was there, but he was oblivious as to what was going on in the spiritual realm, right? You know, he didn't realize nothing was going on. And just like us, when we had this attack, we were like this attendant. We were not prepared. We were oblivious to what was really happening to us. And we need to be like Elisha. We need to wreck Elijah. He saw the problem, right? But immediately he had the solution. And his God was the solution. And because he knew his God so well, because he obviously stayed in tune with his God, in communion, speaking to his God, we have to constantly be in that kind of communion with our God. We have got to be in, how do we do that? Prayer. And prayer does not have to be, okay, well, I have to be by myself. I have to be alone. Let me get on my knees and make this some kind of ritual. If you just talk to the Lord through the day, you are in constant communion with God. You can pray anywhere you're at. There can be 1,000 people around you, and God will be right there with you like there's no one else around you when you call on him. So we've got to get spiritually in tune with who our God is. So whenever any kind of attacks come, whether it's physical, spiritual, we know our God as well as Elijah, that he's already taken care of the problem no matter what comes our way.
That's awesome advice, Brooke. Well, yeah, I hope people will get the point here that those of us in this team are no different than the rest of you. We all go through the same sorts of battles. We get targeted, but the main thing is not to give up. Well, we've come to the end of our show. I want to say thank you for joining us, Brooke. That was just awesome. Remember to please visit the A Minute to Midnight website. We have great articles written by the team on there. We also have an A Minute to Midnight Facebook group. And there is a donation button on our website if you feel led to help us out with donations. That'd be awesome. And also I write and record all the music for all our shows. You can find my music at rockshoresounds.com. Well, that's it from me, and
thank you guys.
Thank you, Brooke.